Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. A lot of documentaries are out and about right now, and I seem to be eating them up. I love them. Saw the trailer for this documentary, Losing Sight of Shore. It is now streaming worldwide on Netflix, and the documentary filmmaker Sarah Moshman is with us right now. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Saw the trailer for this. I was telling you off the air. It's basically a crew rowing across the Pacific from America to Australia.
Right.
Just physical strength. And I just, as I'm watching this, I was touched. I was moved. I was inspired. And then I realized I have absolutely no ambition to do anything.
How about that?
That's unfortunate.
I hope you're happy with yourself, Sarah. You made Wendy realize that
that was the complete opposite goal.
No, this is just the trailer.
Okay.
And then I started thinking about it. And what is the tagline for the documentary?
The tagline of the film is "Everyone has a Pacific to cross." So the idea is, it doesn't have to be a physical thing. I'm certainly not an athlete or a rower myself, but we all have goals we want to achieve in our lives, some big, some small, and hopefully the film will help you get through that.
Why were you drawn to this?
So I made another documentary, The Empowerment Project, and I promoted that film, including with the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
And in promoting that film, a blogger in the UK reached out to me in January 2015, and she said, "I thought you might want to hear about these women. They're about to row the Pacific Ocean." And my first thought was similar, like, what? That's insane. I know nothing about rowing. This is so not for me. But after Skyping with Laura and Natalia, two of the women on the team, I was just blown away, because it was clear from the start this was never about that. It was about the power of the human spirit and what we're all capable of when we push ourselves to the limit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what spoke to me about their story, even though I knew nothing about the journey, the experience. I'm never on the ocean, even though I live in California. I'm not really an ocean person, but something about the story really spoke to me, and I wanted to help them tell their story.
But pushing yourself, I mean, really, we all want to be a better person, maybe being a better mom, maybe being a better dad.
Sure.
You can do it in that respect as well.
Of course, absolutely. A Pacific can be defined in any way. That's just how we want people to relate to it. We don't want people to watch the film and think, oh, that's not me, I could never do that. We want them to be approachable characters, which they are.
Oh, they
They're not
are.
Professional athletes. They have not been rowing their entire lives. And that's important. That's why I was drawn to them as well. They're underdogs, really.
Totally.
Yeah.
So when this idea is presented to you, does that mean, because they're going to be rowing across the Pacific Ocean,
right,
and as the filmmaker, you say, well, then that means that I would also be in that boat rowing.
Not at all. I never had a desire. Although now that it's done, I wish I had some role in the boat. I did get to be in the boat at the end of the movie.
Oh, but best timing.
It was
very smart.
Yeah, it was for the sweet part. No, but I bought them cameras. I taught them how to use the cameras. So they had hard drives and microphones and everything they would need on the boat at sea in this 29-foot pink ocean rowing boat called Doris.
Yeah.
And so I was there every time they were on land. So they started in San Francisco. They had an emergency stop in Santa Barbara, Hawaii, Samoa, and then the big finish, spoiler alert, in Australia.
Oh.
So it was quite a challenge for me as the filmmaker to not know what they were filming. It's not like this was Big Brother style where they're rolling all the time and I'm watching a feed of it. None of that.
So you didn't see the footage until it was done.
Until they were on land.
Wow.
So I got to pick up the hard drives in Hawaii and just pray that there was anything on them at all, let alone decent footage to cut through. So it got better as time went on. And they really took to being storytellers, not only because they were probably bored on the boat at times, but they kind of used the camera as this like fifth member of the team and someone to talk to. They would address the camera as if it was me. And so I would send them questions. It was a very odd situation as a director. It was so much risk involved. But they really evolved as storytellers, and it was really beautiful to watch it unfold as they were vulnerable and scared and happy and excited.
It's not
and
pretty.
Fearful.
It just looks pretty intense.
Yeah, the scenery is pretty.
Yeah.
So this process is very unlike what most filmmakers usually employ. What would you have done differently? Like, would you have said it would have been better for me to have been on the boat, or is this a more interesting story this way?
I think it's more interesting this way. I mean, sure, I have fantasies that I had been on the boat at some stretch, but I also would get on a boat when they were about 12 hours offshore, and I would go meet them at sea and find this tiny pink dot on the horizon. And it was such an adventure for me, even though I wasn't on the boat with them, but to follow them around the world was just so incredible. And Tony Humphries is their shore support, so he obviously would help me find them, and then we'd you know, deploy a drone and get all kinds of aerial footage of them at sea.
Yeah.
So it was a huge adventure, a massive production for me to direct. And I really kind of proved to myself what I'm capable of as a filmmaker. And that only comes from pushing yourself, from crossing a Pacific, from like having a goal and not being sure if you can reach it and then, you know, reaching it. So it's been quite an adventure putting this all together.
You know, the marathon has been not right now, but for the past, I'd say 10 years has been the new challenge that everybody's jumped towards.
Yeah.
And just watching these women achieve what they've tried to do, it reminded me of someone who all of a sudden just says, you know, I want to start running a marathon, because it's not easy the first time you do it.
Of course. And there's a lot of training that goes into it, mental and physical. The Coxless Crew, as they're called, the women that rode the Pacific Ocean, they say it's like 90% of a mental challenge, if you can believe it. So they rode 24 hours a day, 2 hours on, 2 hours off. So 12 hours of the day, they're exerting themselves physically, but they still said it was a 90% mental challenge and that anyone could do it with the amount of training. Again, they're not professional athletes. Some of them had never rowed before. They didn't just get onto the boat cold. They did train, but these are not, you know, Olympic level athletes that we put on a pedestal. These are regular women that had a goal and trained and achieved their
goal. What's the main danger in doing something like this?
Ooh, capsizing was a big fear. Fortunately, Doris, their boat did not capsize. It's a very well-designed boat that was designed just for this journey. In fact, it's kind of even more safe than a rescue boat.
Really?
So they did a capsize drill prior to leaving, but fortunately their boat never did capsize, even though they had, you know, four-story waves.
I know you need to see it. Losing Sight of Shore. There's a screening July 19th. So is that Wednesday?
Yes.
7 p.m. at the Davis Theater. Where's the Davis Theater?
It's on Lincoln, and the whole evening benefits Girls on the Run Chicago.
That's a great program.
It's going to be a great night, yeah.
LosingSightOfShore.com. I know you don't want to give too much of the story away, but are some single, some with families, some with kids?
Yeah.
What kind of...
Oh, sure. I mean, they're varied ages. They're between 25 and 40 years old, and they're all single, at least at the time of the journey. So there were no kids left behind or significant others, and perhaps that's why they were able to do it, but perhaps not. I think a lot of my work is focused around female empowerment, but I really made a special effort to not talk about that too much, honestly, in this film, because I didn't want to alienate the audience. I didn't want it to seem like the boat is pink, so this is a film for women.
Right.
I want everyone to be inspired by the story, which I think anyone can be. So
man
that
or
really
woman.
Wasn't a big part of it. Yeah, they happen to be women is kind of how I see it.
Well, I know we kind of just glossed over this quickly, but the aspect of none of them really had a significant other or somebody left behind, that's an interesting story in and of itself, isn't
it? Well, of course, they have their parents were extremely worried about them at all times, and they were there on land as well. So that's not to say they don't have family.
Right.
Just not a spouse or
husband, girlfriend, boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but that's when all of a sudden, you know, once you have kids, it's like a great moment. But you also realize my life's on hold for 18 years. So that's the time to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is before you have a family. Because I can't imagine how long this took them. And
nine months. It was
You'd
supposed to take
away.
6 months. It took nine.
My husband, by the way, has just texted me and said, why don't you jump on one of these cruises for 9 months?
Sure.
I'll handle the kids.
Easy. Sarah Moshman is here. We're talking about Losing Sight of Shore. If you want to join in, 312-981-7200. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Well, Sarah Moshman is our guest, making a return visit to the show. She is a documentary filmmaker born and raised right here in Evanston and just completed a film called Losing Sight of Shore. You just shared a very interesting fact with Wendy and myself. I find this impossible to believe, but these ladies on the boat, you say it.
Okay, so
amazing.
During the second leg of the journey from Hawaii to Samoa, it was supposed to take 60 days. It ended up taking 97 days. So as a result, they were running out of food, et cetera. But in the middle of that part of the journey, they were actually closer to the International Space Station than they were to any other humans on Earth.
It seems impossible, doesn't it?
It's pretty insane. In this world of technology and fast information, and we're always around each other, to have that kind of isolation is pretty incredible.
Why did it take that many more days than were expected?
Yeah, so they ran into a part of the ocean, and bear with me, this is not my expertise, but called the doldrums. Yeah. And it's a part of the ocean where the currents were not in their favor. So they ended up going backwards at times. They would physically exert themselves the equivalent of 50 miles in a day, but actually go 10 miles in the wrong direction.
Oh my God.
Because of the currents. That would happen to them a lot, actually. So they were constantly exerting themselves, rowing 24 hours a day, 2 hours on, 2 hours off, but not always in the right direction.
Is there a thought during this, Sarah, that they say to themselves, well,
that's their thought.
Those would be the words you would say out loud, right? You would say those words.
Oh, constantly.
But where you say, we can never get out of this. The harder we go, the further back we go.
Absolutely. But I think the bigger lesson is the only way home was through. They couldn't turn around and they couldn't even be rescued in a quick fashion. So even if they had wanted to give up or quit, which you just couldn't, the only way, home was to keep going in a lot of ways. And I think that's a great metaphor for life.
So. Wow.
I was flooded with emotion, and this is just seeing the trailer, so I can't wait to see Losing Sight of Shore, the full documentary. But I felt anxiety. I was scared for them. I actually cried. I mean, I can't imagine these women pushing through on something where you said you can't give up. You can't just all of a sudden stop paddling and just lay in the boat and cry, which is what I would do.
Yeah, well, people often ask me, did they really get along the whole time? And they had to. I mean, it doesn't matter that they're four women. That really has nothing to do with it. It's that they needed each other to get through those tough moments. So you can't argue. Of course they argued, but they got over it very quickly because they only had each other to get through those moments of what are we doing here? How are we going to get through this? I just want to go home.
Once they're done with this, I guess there's several different routes you can take. And one is, I'm never getting on a boat again.
Sure.
I mean, I'm sure some people go, I can't wait to do this again. But mostly you go, I've had it at the sea. Yeah. What is their thought about continuing in this sort of thing?
So they're all very adventurous people. So they're all still doing many different challenges. In fact, they just swam a 10K together. Yeah. So they're still close.
And that's
still
way easier than what they just
but
did.
But still way hard for a normal person. I don't think any of them are planning to row again.
Right.
Maybe recreationally in a river, but never of that extent. Because again, that's never what this was about. It was always about the bigger challenge. You know, can we do this? They're the first team of four to ever row across the Pacific Ocean, men or women. So they didn't break records, they set them.
Right.
And so they achieved the thing they wanted to achieve. So I don't know what they could do otherwise. Maybe the Indian Ocean, but I don't think they have any interest in that.
Right.
I still can't believe that you, making your documentary film, you don't have your fingerprints on it because everything is left up to them with like GoPro cameras and you would meet up with them and interview them.
Yeah, the film is really a mixture of several things. It's mostly their footage from sea, which was incredibly difficult and a huge risk. I didn't know if there would be any footage on the hard drives when I would collect them on land. So that's terrifying as a filmmaker. You can't really recreate this.
Yeah.
There were no pickups, no wild lines to get. Mm-hmm. But also I would be with them for like 7 to 10 days on land every time they stopped to restock the boat. And sometimes their families couldn't even be there because we were so far away. The island of Samoa is gorgeous. Anyone should visit, but it's so far away.
Yeah.
So we would film with them for about 7 to 10 days, interviewing them at length about how the journey had gone, what they were expecting of the upcoming leg, and filling in those blanks of the story, and then also the footage from air, really. So I would go out with a drone and meet them about 12 hours offshore while they were coming in and getting all those aerial shots that you see in the trailer, which really helps bring the whole film together to remind the audience how small and insignificant this pink boat is in this massive ocean.
I want an update on a question I've asked you before. It frustrates me to no end that more women aren't directing films.
Agreed.
We've made a huge progress with the lady who directed Patty Jenkins directed Wonder Woman, and it's made more money than any film that a woman has ever helmed, and that's good news.
Yeah.
So what is the problem? It's 2017. Mm-hmm. Why aren't more studios saying a woman can do just as good a job as a guy can do on a movie?
You know, I hope this isn't true, but it feels like it's like any other industry. Why aren't there more female CEOs? Why aren't there more female doctors? There's so many factors. I don't think we can pinpoint one thing, but a lot of times what seems to happen in Hollywood is people want to hire people like them, right? You know, you want to be comfortable around people just like you. And if there's men at the top, then they're bringing up younger men and sort of grooming this next generation. Not true across the board, but that seems to be the problem.
I never even thought of it that way, but it's true.
If you want to have a mentee, it's probably going to be someone like you. I want to help this kid. That's what happened with Colin Trevorrow for Jurassic World. Brad Bird said, this guy who directed a lot of Pixar movies, he said, this guy reminds me of myself. I'm going to help him out. And so he directed Jurassic World, and now he's, you know, fine in his career. But there's not a female Brad Bird equivalent bringing up women. So thank goodness Patty Jenkins has made this huge impact, and hopefully we'll see the ripple effect for that for many years to come.
Have you felt that you personally have lost out on jobs because you're a woman and not a man?
That's hard to say. I mean, perhaps, but for me, I really pride myself on creating my own opportunities. Yeah. That's both of my feature films have been because I just had the tenacity and the perseverance to keep going. So not necessarily, but I'm sure there's been things behind the scenes I can't even, you know, understand. But you just can't think of it that way. I'm going to be a woman my whole life. Yeah. So I'm going to work with what I have. And I think that we bring such a unique perspective, and there's so many stories that still need to be told from women and people of color that aren't being told. So I'm happy to be on that side of history.
Good.
Just watching the women in this film, Losing Sight of Shore, working to exhaustion, not allowing themselves to fail, is really an uplifting story in itself. The screening is happening Wednesday night, 7 p.m. at the Davis Theater. You can go to losingsightofshore.com. And if we can't make it, where else can we see Losing Sight of Shore?
I am so happy to report that the film is on Netflix worldwide, as well as iTunes and Amazon. So it's been really exciting sharing the story with the world, and I hope more people watch it. It's truly evergreen.
Yeah.
Watch it anytime, anywhere, and you'll feel uplifted.
Good. We have less than a minute, but what are you working on next?
Well, I'm actually expecting, so I'm developing a human.
Yeah.
Which I'm really excited.
I was like, expecting what? It didn't click all of a sudden.
Yeah, so I'm on the journey to motherhood. I'm really excited about it. And
Another project that takes nine months.
Yeah, exactly. I'll make many more films to come, but each one takes so much of your time and love and energy. It's got to be the right thing, but I'm excited for whatever it is.
Excellent. Very good.
That's your Pacific now
to
get through this to be a good mom. Because
you said
till
18, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Thank you, Sarah.
Great
to see you again. It's Sarah Moshman again. Losing Sight of Shore. Go to losingsightofshore.com. All your information's right there. Thanks. Great to see you.
Thanks.
We'll take a quick break. We have news next, and then Eric Zorn joins us at Spillin' Monday on WGN.